Good morning from the Financial Times. Today is Tuesday, April 16th, and this is your FT News Briefing. Goldman Sachs is breathing a sigh of relief, and private equity firm CVC has announced plans to go public. Again. Plus, a dangerous migration route in Central America has become extremely popular. I'm Sonia Hudson, and here's the news you need to start your day. Goldman Sachs hit Wall Street with a big surprise yesterday. The bank reported that profits rose 28% in the first quarter. That surpassed analyst estimates by almost $1 billion. The results reflected an uptick in revenues from its investment banking and trading businesses. This was a huge turnaround for Goldman, which has had a tough 12 months under Chief Executive David Solomon. He's been heavily criticized for focusing too much on growing the company's consumer banking. Solomon recently pivoted to focus on wealth and asset management instead. Analysts say that's a major reason for Goldman's stellar performance this past quarter. Private equity firm CVC Capital Partners has announced plans to list on the Amsterdam Stock Exchange. When it does, it'll be one of 2024's most anticipated initial public offerings. CVC manages about 186 billion euros worth of assets. Here to talk about whether the debut is part of a broader revival of IPOs in global markets is the FT's Ivan Levingston. Hi, Ivan.
Hey, how's it going?
It's going well, thanks. So what did CVC say yesterday about its plans to list?
CVC said that it plans to list its shares in Amsterdam, raising a mix of new money and allowing some existing investors who have been longtime backers of the firm to finally begin cashing out some of their stakes. When private equity groups like CVC list, it can be complicated because private equity firms have a mix of two main revenue streams. There are the fees that investment groups get from managing assets, and then there are the profits known as carry that they get from profitable transactions. So when CVC lists, there'll be a breakdown where the public vehicle, so to speak, will be more based on the fees from assets under management, whereas there'll be a private company that keeps some of the exposure to the profits from deals.
Got it. So it's kind of like a half IPO.
Exactly. It's splitting the revenue streams in a way, not 100%, but public market investors favor the steady fees gained from managing assets, while deal makers can be more partial to the lucrative profits that come from successful transactions.
So give me a little bit of a background on CVC. I mean, how big of a player is it in European markets, and what sort of route did it take to get to this IPO announcement?
CVC is one of the most important private equity groups in Europe, and its route to the public market has been a long time coming. The group was founded about three decades ago as a spin-out from Citibank. And for the last couple years, it's been attempting to go public to keep up with some of its rivals that have also held IPOs, Blackstone, KKR, those types of large U.S. competitors. So CVC was gearing up 2 years ago to IPO, but that was disrupted by geopolitics. It was gearing up this past fall to IPO, also disrupted by geopolitics. So this time around, in the third push, they decided even a barrage of drones and missiles from Iran was not enough to prevent them from going ahead.
And how important is this IPO for European markets?
It's certainly one of the most anticipated offerings of the year. The company is planning to raise at least 1.25 billion euros. It's also a good test for how a financials sector company will perform. And if it does well, it could further open the markets to more IPOs after about a two-year-long slowdown.
Yeah, well, you know, that's something that we've talked about on this show quite a bit. when will we actually start to see this revival of the global IPO market that we've been hearing about for so long? So do you think that CVC is the listing that could get it back on track?
The IPO market now I would describe as fragilely coming back to life, but the companies that have pursued IPOs this year so far are, in the most case, mature companies whose investors have been hoping to start exiting their positions for a long time now. So CVC having a successful listing would be a further continuation of that trend. We haven't started to see, in a significant way, tech startups that are a little more untested or innovative-focused companies that are typically what IPO markets are known for. We'll have to see more companies like that taking the jump to know that we really have a healthy and roaring IPO market.
Ivan Levingston covers European mergers and acquisitions for the FT. Thanks, Ivan.
Thank you.
Tesla is laying off 10% of its global workforce. That's roughly 14,000 jobs. This is the second round of major layoffs in about 2 years. It's another sign that the carmaker is struggling with a global slowdown in electric vehicle sales and a brutal price war. If that wasn't bad enough, we also learned yesterday that two of the company's top executives have left. Tesla isn't the only one struggling, though. Companies all along the supply chain are feeling the pressure, too. Yesterday, China's CATL, the world's largest EV battery maker, reported lower than expected revenues for the second quarter in a row. The Darien Gap is a dense rainforest that cuts across the border of Colombia and Panama. It doesn't have any roads, and crossing through it can be really dangerous. But despite the risks, the Darien is now one of the primary routes to get from Latin America to the U.S. southern border. The FT's Michael Stott recently traveled to the area, and he joins me now to talk about it. Hi, Michael.
Hello, Sonia.
So, Michael, when exactly did the Darien start becoming such a popular route?
It's a new phenomenon, Sonia. It's really took off after the pandemic, and it's been soaring over the last 3 years. Last year, more than 500,000 people came through this once pristine stretch of jungle. And this year, the numbers are up again. They're up about 38% in the first 3 months of this year over last year. And something else which is new is that there are more and more nationalities now using the Darien route as a way to get towards the United States. So the mainstay of the migration are people from the most disastrous economies, if you like, of Latin America, which are Venezuela, Cuba, and Haiti. But they've now been joined in recent years by an increasing number of Chinese, some Africans, Afghans, Iranians have been starting to use this. And this is because there are gangs and organized criminals who are using the route as a way of making money.
But like I said earlier, I mean, this route is really dangerous. So why are people choosing to use it?
So it's partly the fact that this is a way to get towards the United States, avoiding the controls you would have if you were flying. So you might ask, well, why are people not taking airplanes? There are flights to Mexico if you're trying to reach the U.S. border. Well, the answer is that Mexico has imposed strict visa requirements on lots of these countries that have problems, like Venezuela, or Ecuador, or Haiti, or Cuba. And the other thing is, of course, a lot of these people don't have passports. So they then go to these gangs who advertise online, offering help in getting through the Darien, and they pay anything from several thousand dollars in the case maybe of Venezuelans, right up to $25,000 in the case of Chinese who have more money. So there are people making a huge amount of money out of this. And a Panamanian minister estimated recently that last year alone, criminals made $820 million off migrants going through the Darien.
Wow. And what's happening in these countries that people are leaving that's causing such a big increase? Is that a factor as well?
So yes, Venezuela's economy cratered over the last few years. Cuba's economy is in the worst shape probably it's ever been. And in other countries in Latin America, places like Ecuador, there's been a big rise in murders and extortions and violence, which has also driven people to flee. So it's a number of things, mainly economic problems, but also criminal violence.
Now, A number of different countries are involved here. I mean, obviously, Panama and Colombia, the two countries on either side of the Darien, but also the U.S., where, you know, most of these migrants are trying to get to. What efforts have been made to deter them from taking this route?
So the U.S. is very keen to try to reduce migration via this route, and it's pressed the governments of Panama and Colombia to do something about it, but so far without much success. The Colombian government is keen to reduce the number of Venezuelans in particular living in Colombia, more than 2 million of them. So far, the Colombian government's really done very little to deter migration at all. On the Panamanian side, they're facing a different problem, which is they'd like to seal the border, but it's a very difficult border to police. It's remote, it's dangerous, there's no roads, and Panama doesn't even have an army. The country only has a police force.
Michael, I'm curious, what do you think the Darien represents? I mean, we've talked about this huge surge in migration, multiple countries being impacted. What sort of moment are we seeing reflected in what's going on at this crossing?
So the Darien is a dramatic demonstration of the failure of several states in the region, Venezuela, Cuba, Haiti in particular, to provide anything like a decent living for most of their citizens. And that's triggered the worst migration crisis in the Americas' history. And it's now rippled out and become broader still because you have increasing demand for migration to the United States from many countries in the world with economic and political troubles. So it's become a kind of super migration highway, which is now being used not just by South Americans or Central Americans, but by nationalities from Asia and Africa as well.
Michael Stott is the FT's Latin America editor. Thanks, Michael.
Thanks, Sonia.
You can read more on all these stories at FT.com for free when you click the links in our show notes. This has been your daily FT News Briefing. Make sure you check back tomorrow for the latest business news.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has experienced teams who can craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex. Real wealth requires real solutions. Connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com.
Hi, this is Janice Torres from Yo Quiero Dinero. From a local business to a global corporation, partnering with Bank of America gives your operation access to exclusive digital tools, award-winning insights, and business solutions so powerful, you'll make every move matter. Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. What would you like the power to do? Bank of America NA, copyright 2024.